This morning you shall turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and read verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. This morning I would like us to reflect on the thing unbelief. Unbelief. And our text, as we just read, has a reference to an incident that happened when the people of Israel were at the border of the promised land. When they arrived there, when they were about to enter the promised land. So, that incident is recorded for us in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. If you read the chapter, you get all the information of what happened there. And I pray there, Hebrew 4, chapter 3, and verse 19. When they got to the border of the promised land, from which the writer of Hebrew is referring us to, and also when we read in Psalm 78, it also gave us reference to what happened there. You see, when they got to the border of the promised land, Moses sent out 12 spies, and God told him that he should select each man from a tribe. So there were 12 spies. And they were to go to the Canaan land and search the land and bring reports and their findings to Moses and the people. And in chapter 13, we read that there were 10 spies that brought bad reports, evil reports of the good land. And I'll read for you. We need to open it. Numbers chapter 13, 27 to 28. You see that, and they told him. Actually, they told Moses and said, "We came unto the land which thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." This is the beginning of their reporting. David and they went on to exaggerate from 32 to 33. They said, "The land through which we have gone to search it. It's a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which comes of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now, there can I say, Moses, Esuma, Nipa, Edumienu, Amuko, Asasin, Esuma, Amuko, Fisho, Esuma, Amuba, Enemu, Ten, Emudu, And the sons of Anak and Baal are my agent. No more call so can say, "Assassin, never a share, so no. A moon assassin, a moony panery, as I say, so a day, as I say, as a nipper was no more. And a sons of whom Nippa almost so wapa. Ah, my agent, ah, my anakimba. Now, you need to know, not yet your own, or when you see it, but you brought another friend, a baby, a woman. And So on hearing this report, we are told that in chapter, the same number 14 verse 1, we are told that all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Then they move on. What is it? After their crying, they went on to complain against God in verse 2, chapter 40, verse 2 of Numbers. Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? So they are rather preferring to die in their slavery or in the wilderness. And what they do in chapter 14, Numbers 14:4, we read that, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. So, in our reading in Psalm 78, in verse 41, that's what it refers to. It says that, so they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And say, I'm going to do one, they see, you know, and I'm going to down when I'm going to be in some way, I'm going to catch you, you know, and I'm going to me and I'm going to go to the Mama, you know, and see, you know, they limited the Holy One of Israel. Meaning they failed to trust in the power of God who has delivered them from the Egyptian bondage and driving them or leading them to a land of freedom. Now, for one, I bet you almost feed Egypt in Kwasumu. What do you mean? So they limited God and turned from the Holy One of Israel. So they were willing to turn it back to slavery, despite God's command, His kindness, His mercy. And so many are passing on mercy, Akwa, in Kwasumu. They have undermined whatever God has done for them. His kindness, His mercy, His love, and even His command for them to go. Because God has been so kind to these people. He has been so merciful to them. In many ways, when they were coming in the wilderness, they did many sins. Else, at one time, God told Moses that he should stand apart and he will consume all the people and he will begin a nation again with only Moses. So you see, and just go bear with them. And at this point, just enter the land. Just ask for grace. Ask God, grant us the help for us to go. They say no. They wanted to turn back. So why were they willing to turn back into bondage? The Hebrew writer tells us in verse 19, he says that, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So the reason why was unbelief. The reason why they wanted to go back to sin, to slavery, was because of unbelief. Unbelief. And it's a great sin. Unbelief. So their unbelief, by their unbelief, they doubted the Holy One of Israel, who cannot lie. So they are making God's word to be a lie. God who cannot lie. And now they don't believe Him. They don't believe His promise to give them the land. God has promised to Abraham, their father, Isaac and Jacob, and all their people that He'll give them hundreds of years. And yet, they think that God was lying. They think that God is not able to fulfill His promise to what He has told their grandparents before. You see, unbelief worked in the heart of these people to undermine a promise God has made for about almost 500 years. They left Egypt. It's over 500 years. They left Egypt. They went to Egypt for 430 years. And before then, Abraham and Jacob, they believed people. So over getting to around maybe 7 years over, a promise made unto them, and they undermine it because of unbelief. But That is the level of Israel. Normally, when you read the Old Testament, you have to reflect it to the life of people today. So the attitude of the people of Israel to God's word is the same with many today. The very mind that worked in their heart to undermine God's word is with many today. Sometimes people read and say, oh, Israel, oh, if I were there, I wouldn't do that. If I, they were very bad. Oh, God gave them manna and they requested from it. Oh, why are they so stubborn? Are you and I, we are not better than them. So you see, the attitude of this people of Israel is the same today. Israel for that idea, yeah, can was a miserable young one, a buffo, a moa, a mochum, a buffo, a buffo. At the same, Nipa and Naya, Sarah Nipasu, a dafitier, and Jenzi, a one Nipamu. Today, many take God's word for nothing. Then also, Bible truth for many today are unreliable theories or stories. Many, many people, those of you who have even the Bible, even if people take it to be God's word, at least they think that it's not absolute truth. Nipa bebre, and then omo enji nyame asemu ntu. Omo ti kwase nyame asemu ko, enyame asemu de nemu enyi anu pene asemu a ose yefa de go ebra. That's what many people are thinking today. So let's have our own way. Let's have the things and add up to what God has said. Yes, God has said it, but we have other things to add up to what He has said. Many also despise God's mercy freely offered in the once for all atoning sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same attitude where people doubt God and discredit His word, even those who come to His worship, those who seem to worship Him, majority are despising His mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Impo yekase nipa dodona emfanya mi asemo nyafe. Yekase impo nipa dodona ejo mo zo so mo so mo ekọ na asore om som no. Ifa be bre no mo fa mo ntun ya kupon ni mo bro ho owo Jesus Christo ne afore bo bo wa se dia so hwe ni mo jagu ma bo ni. Ifa be na fa mo ntun so. Ifa be kwa asore baba o mo bre nda sa di we so. O mo reda nyoma be bre so. Ebi mo reda akomchefo so bi mo reda o mo papa o mo ebi mo reda. I mean, the new mother brown, who said, I do want to come without woman, I hope my job. And that is what is going on today. The sacrifice, which is the only way that sin can be forgiven, only way we can have fellowship with God, and the only way where we can have eternal happiness. Sir, I for a boy used to have our sin years. I know pet, never to me, one if I tell you, I know pet, and soon never to me, and any of you, and who did. And also, friend, you to me, I'm my near da, as I see, we are there, it's a chumuqua, that's a yasu for the bar. And you to me, I'm my near fire home, and you need any from you. And yet, people despise this message. It has become the most cheapest of all messages around. Salvation, oh, salvation is very common. And yet, how many people are really saved? And quite yet, so, you go to the spiritual people, oh, yes, quite yet, we are all saved, oh, yes. Because I have believed on Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most common people, the most common thing people just say. Oh yes, I believe on Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, He died for me on the cross, and that is all. And yet people are not saved. And that is what people are. They are what? Making light of God's word. This is the attitude of the people of Israel as we are talking about. Unbelief. So we must know that all who despises or who despise and make light of God's word are driven by unbelief. They cannot have a simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they doubt Him and continue their sin. Because when people are not saved, they will continue their sin. Yes, they will claim that they are saved. And that is what is happening. Many people claim to be saved and then they are okay with sin. Sin is nothing to them. Whether in their heart or in the active outward, they don't care. And yet people claim to be saved. It's serious. And that is driven by unbelief. If it's not unbelief, I cannot claim to be saved while I am still in my sin. It's unbelief. Being daring, I mean, thinking that that's how salvation should be. So those people are driven by unbelief, so they refuse to accept that God is holy and righteous, whose word is infallible, and who is truth Himself. God is God of truth. And if God has said something thousands of years, it will still stand. God never changes. It is us who change. Our desires change, our mind changes in a few minutes. Our desires keep on changing. Our environment keep on changing. Our bodies are changing. Situation changes, but God never changes. So sometimes we equate God with our situation and say, oh, maybe God is not dealing with me well. Or maybe God's, how maybe society is modernized and how things are refined. God's demand to be forgiven by blood that Christ shed is not necessary. Maybe that's what some people think. So, oh, this is no, you choose we are saying the other. Give me a good point. Next time we shall talk. Then I'm just going to just open a bonnet. But you know, if I feel something, yeah, so people don't reflect on that. Okay, so I'll move on to my subject. What is unbelief now? We have a general, I mean, outlook, why we consider the people of Israel and also how general people do. But what is unbelief? Anjin the evidence. Yeah, can't anjin the anything. It is a rejection of the testimony of a proven truth. As I said, yeah, as someone yeah, can show us AC, Omo Adansi the can. Now we got some of the that is unbelief. That's a general thing. And it is also refusing to admit truth into the mind by prejudice. Okay, it's easier, but imagine, you know, information I may want to know. I mean, yes, it's to me. That is it. That's a general attitude toward unbelief. It's like when someone blindfolds himself and just come maybe inside the room and come outside during the daytime and look at the sun and say, oh, for me, I can't see any sunlight. That's what unbelief is. You cover your eyes, you come outside and say, oh, there's no sunlight. People are saying, they say, no, there's no sunlight. That is how attitude of unbelief is. So every official day more as more or not they are just any. We have one thing. Then if you say we have also that we are light you know. And no engine is to buy. Because these are truth, these are proven. But you say me, I can't take it as truth. So when we bring it to God's truth, this is general thing. I mean, as I said, the illustration for it's a general thing. I mean, it can be related to many things in life, maybe historical facts, and you say, oh no. Because I was not there, or because I can't take it. But when we come to God's truth, it's serious. When we apply this attitude to God's truth, that's where the sins come in. Because after history, general history, you can decide not to believe it. You have not sinned against anybody. But when it comes to God's word, and you apply unbelief to it, it's a great sin. So, we are sinning. But the bank of one ourselves, now the self to buy my basua and your bonnet. When this unbelief is applied to what God has said, it's sin. It's a great sin. There are many who have shut their minds to the gospel of Christ. Yes, they hear, but they have shut their mind. They don't want it to sink in. They don't want to reflect that the Savior has suffered so much. So that because of their sin, he hung on the tree. Because of sin, that Christ had to live his glory and come and take a human nature to bear all form of evil. People don't want to reflect. They don't want to think about it even some few minutes. They hear a sermon on it, they go a few minutes, it is gone. And yet, sin is what is affecting the human race. Nipa mesol bi Jesus Christ ni wo na wo ma bone ho. Ye ti ye ti ya ne ho asem ka gre bi. Ye pie kwa me ka gre bi na ya ba bo asem ko na na ye ato atwe. And yet bone na ti ya ko. So that is how it's unbelievable to unbelief. Because this message is for you and I. We are sinners and yet we don't want to reflect the cure for us. So that is the attitude of they don't want to reflect on it. The only testimony God has given for us as needy sinners to embrace. The testimony of his son, the gospel, the testimony, what God has done, what God has effected, and he demands you and I to believe it, and yet we don't think about it. So many may hear the gospel over and over again, they will hear it, but they will not consent. I'm sure you understand the word consent. Consent, they will not give their mind, they will not give their thought about it. Well, it's there, but it's not that important. Among former and farmer, many are like unbelieving Judas. You know, Judas was part of the 12, the inner circles of Christ. He wanted to be called a disciple of Christ, but he was never a Christian. That's what many are doing. Many like to be called Christians, but they are not really Christ's disciples. They are not really Christ-like. And that's what people are very happy with. So people want to call themselves Christians, but the fact that they must repent and believe in him as the only sacrifice for sin, they see no reason for that. They see no beauty in Christ. They see no affection that Christ has died, that Christ has suffered for sin, that he gave himself for sin. Maybe for those people, sin is not a great thing for them. Maybe they think God will have a second option for sin. But there's no option, second option for saying, God is God of truth. What he has said, he will do. What he has said, he will not go back on his word. When anyone is not saved, God's word is against him. But God has said it. The only reason we have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ is because we are all sinners. None of us here can claim that he's never a sinner. If he claims that, even if his heart deceives him, it's a great affront on the word of God. Because in 1 John 1:10, you read that if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. We make God a liar. And his word is not in us. Then we are truly unbelievers. If we say we have never sinned, if they cast you near born that near your true for and can we stand against that word that we have said God is a liar? Anyone who claims not to be a sinner is saying God is a liar. Because God is a liar in the sense that we have not sinned, and yet he's telling that he has sent his son to come and die for us. So no. It's because of our sin. That's why we have to come to Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have to come to him. And unless you admit before God that you are a sinner, you will never see your need for forgiveness. Unless there's an admission of guilt, there's an admission of what I have done against, not somebody else. Every sin against people are sins, but every sin, whether against somebody or whatever, it's against God. Whether if I insult somebody, just an insult, it's against God. Yes, I have to maybe be sorry for that, but I have to come to God for forgiveness. And this encompasses every sin and our own nature as sinners. We are born in sin. We came out into this world as sinners, and we come to practice sinful things. So even if you say you have not seen any sinful act in yourself, which no sound person will ever claim that. And even if you claim that, you are a sinner because we are born in sin. We will die one day. We get all the condemnation of sin. We feel it in our lives. The troubles of life, and everyone who lives ever dies. Which tells us that we are all sinners. So that is unbelief. Unbelief goes that way and it's a sin. Unbelief is a great sin. It undermines everything. So the sin of unbelief, let's actually look at the sin of unbelief itself and find some details about it. Unbelief undermines all the perfect attributes of God. It scandalizes God's own character. And it denies all his attributes. It's a great sin. For you, how can you stand against God? It undermines all the character, the beautiful character of God. In the redemption of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God manifested the complete excellence of all his glory, all his character. He manifested that in Christ Jesus. The air can say, and the eye of one, in a sense, that It's a great thing for God to do that and you undermine it. It's a great thing. It undermines character. Remember, in Hebrews 1:3, we are told, that is Christ, who being the brightness of his glory, the glory of the triune God, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself heard our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, when Christ was manifested, it was to show us God. Who God is. Only God can live among sinners and never sin. Only Christ, being the second person of the Trinity, could come and live among sinners and never sin. So, such a beautiful thing that he has done because of our sin. Not only that, undermining that, but then in Christ's redemption, God displayed his infinite wisdom. The wisdom of salvation. Look, for years man has devised so many means to get up to God. Read the Greek history, the Romans, their histories, and all being our African traditions. Our sisters, how were they worshiping God? Imagery, images, and their imaginations. And men have gone on for years. But in Christ, it says God, even the Jewish system of worship was imperfect. But in Christ, He showed us that He only can show us the way to worship Him. And in His own wisdom, draft the way of salvation so that anyone who wants, who will see this can come to Him and have fellowship with Him. They can say, "Yahu Paul, and my little boy, or that, Nisu, Fefe, and then, and you know, Yamwedi." Now, Sahas, you know, said, and a young Sampra, or PM to me, and you create your fine, so that the Holy Spirit will. And His almighty power, He to me, sir, or to the young in the field, or the energy. I mean, He manifested it at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, all the philosophers in the world have been conjecturing about life after death. They never thought life can be resurrected. Though even in the Old Testament, we read of maybe Elijah bringing up the son of the Shunammite woman to life and all that. But to see that, Christ coming to die and live again and never die. All those who to be Christ rose from the dead, they die. Lazarus, they will die. But to raise from death and never die again. It was a mighty thing. And also, his strict justice and his boundless mercy. While he was punishing the Lord Jesus Christ, everything on him, 100%, then he was also forgiving us our sin. So that our punishment was put on the Lord Jesus Christ. God must be just and also be merciful. And he displayed this in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all this, God never sinned. God never did anything unworthy. Anything that can undermine His holiness. And yet, unbelief look at it and say, "I despise it." Unbelief despises all this and make a mockery of all these great things God has done. If I cannot think and reason to the gospel and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what I'm doing. I'm despising what great work God has done by showing His character, the God of all creation. Unbelief also casts insults on the persons of the triune God, the Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity. What does it reject the testimony of the boundless love of God, of the Father, God the Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Unbelief says, "I cannot." Unbelief says, "What God has done, I don't care." His love, manifestation of His love. And also, it rejects the sufferings, death, and resurrection of the Son, the second person of the Trinity. His great sacrifice that He offered for sin. It undermines it. And it also rejects the persuasions and the influences of the Spirit, which can only illuminate the mind and transform the heart. So, and yet the 18 Yankupon, ne kesi yese, Yankupon wa, se oye, nimu chemi yensa, se eja oba ne Hong Kong, se de omu tiyeno, and yet the disa, nipa Yankupon wa, si se no, dina, if you say, eja ne dono wa, o da ne dino, and yet the emu shiwu. And now, a balance new will be who yet a train of track, a marble, you know, and then dear who you will. And now, from Hong Kong, so need to my old dear and now, just that, yes, in a mass and more, or that there, Kuma, no of transferring, you need to mean ya, and you say, yeah, you may be on your mass and more near Kuma, son, a pulling, as we said, a Sunday by a fellow or that winter. It is a word that can go deeper and move you. So that you can look upon Christ and believe. But if you don't consider the word as an important message, then how can you be influenced by the Spirit? It will never be done. It will never be done. So unbelief is a barrier to the all-important work of salvation, because faith is the only channel by which salvation is possible. Faith is the means. Faith is not the salvation itself, but it's the means. And if you don't have faith on what God has said, salvation cannot come. JD, and I'm JD soon now. I'm quite dear ever. That's the only JD on Yamia says over Orient as well. I'm quite dear better than about her. Faith is a channel by which salvation comes. Faith, JD Yanga said, and yeah, and quite dear. JD and quite dear. Like JD is a name, Juma. JD, I am cooked one far on numbers today, then quite the name, then quite the seven bread. So, without faith, that the Bible tells us it is impossible to please God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are told, without faith, nobody can please God because it is through faith God deals with us. But what does unbelief do? Unbelief shuts the mind and hardens the heart, and so renders the promises, the threatenings of the gospel in vain. Whatever the gospel of Christ says, whatever it offers, unbelief says it is in vain. Let's listen to what Stephen said about the unbelieving Jews. The same, argument he argued with them. In Acts chapter 7, 51, he said that after preaching to them and telling them of their forefathers, the sins they did, as we read, I spoke to you about Numbers 14 and also Psalm 78, after recounting the same incidents to them, and I think along the line, the people were opposing him. And look at what he said. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. The unbelief was a resistance against the Holy Spirit. They even didn't want to take the truth that Stephen is referring that all that Christ did was the reference that Christ will come and that they will believe in him. It is finished in Christ. And because they have rejected Christ and crucified him, they don't want that name to be mentioned. They said, no, what Stephen is telling us is not true. He said, and he told them, you are stiff-necked and uncircumcised heart. Stiff-necked means what? Stubborn and unwilling. To be stubborn and unwilling. That's what. So they were unwilling to accept what Stephen was telling them about Christ. Uncircumcised in the heart also means that heart full of sins and in bondage to sin. It's not the same thing. The people wanted to go back to Egypt for what? To be in bondage to sin. They wanted to go back to Egypt so that what? They will go and be slaves. It's not the same people who were in Egypt, they were crying that, oh, we are dying, God, come and deliver us. But now, they have to believe on the Lord, they have to believe on the Lord to go to the promised land. Unbelief says, no, I want to go back again to suffer. And that is what people are doing today. People, attitude today is the same, like the attitude of people of Israel in the olden days, the same with people, unbelievers today. They cannot see any thing that concerns them, concerns what God has done. So unbelief is a great sin. But let's move on. Our time is moving. The causes of unbelief. The causes. So what caused this unbelief? There should be causes. The first thing is that the sinfulness and deception in the human heart. That's the root of unbelief. The sinfulness and deception in the human heart. In Jeremiah 17:9, we are told, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There, your ma, Emma, Angel, the body park, and I said, they can't hear. Bonnea, I think if I come here, Bonnepa, I have Bonnea, and Cassandra. Miss Ma, Jeremiah, I said, Nipa, I come my dad out for. I said, yeah, no, sounds so yet the Bonnea, why not? I bet you mean whom the Bonnea are here, or the Bonnea. So sinful hearts deceive many things that they don't need God. The pleasures of sin are better than the pleasures of God. Unbelief, that's what it does. The sinful heart deceives that, oh, sin is sweet. But remember what Moses did. When Moses considered all the vast reign of Egypt, he left it because he trusted that. He wanted to go and suffer with the flood, but he trusted in the word of God that God is able to deliver them to a better place. So he trusted in the Lord and he left. What if he had lived there for long? If he had lived, he would have become Pharaoh of Egypt. But he despised that. No. This is a place of sin. I would rather want to go where the love of God is. So as faith in Christ demands forsaking of every sin in the heart and also in life of Christ. And also, self must be denied with all the happiness sin brings to us. But many love their sins. They dislike to give up their last for the cross of Christ. Because the cross of Christ will not permit them to continue in sin. Will not permit them to enjoy their life of sin. So many despise this. So they remain in unbelief. This is what the cause. Sin in the heart. Deception of our sinful heart. So So second thing also is this, the blindness or ignorance of the mind. Assume we are and I said, I found something I can't show. Forgotten. There's a word for ignorance. I said, emphasis, something like that. Ah, I won't depart dreams, and if I'm person open. So ignorance of the mind causes people not to have right views about life, its purposes and end. So the blindness, because many people are living in this life, they think without God, they are right, they have good purpose for life. But it's ignorance. God who made us, and he's telling us how we ought to live and how we can relate to him. But blindness and ignorance will lead men to think, oh no, we are wise. We have our own mind, we have our own intellect, we are living, we are moving on, life is progressing. So why do we need God? And they despise the purpose for which God has brought us to this world. And this ignorance is both moral and spiritual. But this ignorance is not intellectual. That's what many people don't know. It's not intellectual ignorance. Why am I saying this? Unbelief. People can be great sinners and yet be brilliant in this world. And even help the world with so much technology and so much advancement in many things. And yet, they are sinners. When Adam fell, yes, the intellect somehow was limited, but intellect was not affected that much. So you see, people can be sinners through and through and yet can do well because they have the mind to think and do things. But that's not the ignorance we are talking about here. And this is what prosperity preachers always miss. They always think that unbelief and ignorance of scripture is the cause of people not being able to live prosperous. So they direct people to rather take the word of God as if it's about their intellect which is not being able to work well. No, that's nothing. If people fail in life, yeah, fine. If it's a moral issue, then it comes in. But most failures in life sometimes it's not ignorance of scripture. It's just intellectual, maybe not. Like for instance, if I'm a CEO of a company and maybe I did not focus well and the company collapses, if the government comes to check our papers, if I did not act anything against the practices, nobody will take me, as I've done anything criminal. But if they come and I've asked anything against the law, then they hold on me. So it's not intellectual ignorance, it's rather moral and spiritual. Human character and also spiritual character. That is where the ignorance is. Are you surprised that even the richest people in the world, they care not about religion, but they have sharp mind to do things for the world, but they care not about the word of God. So let none deceive us. For instance, these prosperity preachers will tell, oh, Africa, they apply this word, a lack of knowledge, my people perish. It is not about intellectual ignorance. No. Fine, that one has an advantage. What the Bible wants us to understand is spiritual and moral, not that intellectual ignorance because Africans don't fail to act in a certain way, so we are not progressing. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Lack of knowledge, my people perish. No. It's not knowledge of what we have to put things right in. No. It is also true that when people are morally and spiritually ignorant, sometimes it affects how they have to even intellectually think. But that's not the effect here. The effect is moral and spiritual. How we can hear the word of God, understand it, and relate to God, and be able to please God. That is the ignorance the Bible talks about. That's the lack of knowledge when people don't have it. They perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have the perish there is not economic perish or society, whatever it is. It is what? Spiritual, thing and moral. So Satan often exercises influence on this blindness of the unbelieving mind to reject the gospel. Satan, his work is not that your intellect will not work so that you can't fall. That's not his purpose. His purpose is to shut your mind against the gospel so that you can never be saved. So that when he's cast into the lake of fire, he'll have many people to go with him. Because God, the Bible says, that place is prepared for Satan and his demons. So when people also say there's no hell, they deceive themselves. God initially prepared that place for Satan and demons. So where are they going to be if there's no hell? Those who say that there's no hell because God is so merciful. But God said that the demons are doomed forever. The hell is already prepared for them. And people who are unbelievers will be added up to him. So hell is prepared not initially for the man. It was prepared for the angels when they fell. So if anybody tells you there's no hell, he deceives his own soul. So because you also Sam James and all that, he said, Obonsam James and Gassi, I go for HSC Hall, and the Garden Ma, Obonsam, and in a home money, I'm there, I'm also among young Quajibia. Nipa Kobe, you said, I'm James in the Pansu Kobe. And Obonsam Joe, whoever got anyone, I found Obonsam in a home boy, I'm going to go. They can't go, God is not going to save them. They are doomed forever. And they are going to be punished forever. And those who will be unbelievers will go with them, with him. So thirdly, the another thing that, so we have seen that sinfulness and deception in the human heart, and also the blindness and the ignorance of the human mind. And the third thing, the pride of the human heart. You know, where pride is, faith cannot be found. Faith is a humbling grace. It's a humbling grace. When faith comes into the heart, that person becomes humble. So if their pride stands in my heart, I can never be saved. Because faith cannot come there. They are two opposite things. Can light and darkness dwell together? No. It is not possible. Faith makes the soul to prostrate before Christ. It is faith that sees the sacrifice of Christ and says, oh, it is my sin. Oh, Lord, help my unbelief. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm a sinner. It's faith that helps anyone to do that. Genuine in a money from whom Christ has sent me a boy, no, and it also turns the high imaginations of the mind into humbleness. Until faith comes in, man will think, oh yes, I have ambition. Life, I remember I sent an article to a friend, a gospel article. He replied, oh, bro, you know, we have advanced. Life, we are moving on. These things are not necessary. No, I replied to him. It is true, we have advanced. But you know, matters of life, and matters of spirit, and matters of God, nobody can advance it. So, and I just told him that you should think about soul, but one day we may lose it. Because when I was talking to him, his cousin was our classmate. He died, I didn't know, I saw the picture about 3 weeks ago. We were going to bury him, they buried him this week. He knew his cousin had died, but no, he said, they have moved on. As if he has life to live. See how life is. When people are, don't have trust, who don't see any beauty in Christ, see how life does. His cousin is dead. And the circumstances that his cousin went through, they evaluated him, he was so sorry. He died. He suffered so much, he died. And he thinks, bro, life must move on. It's interesting, and that's what unbelief does. The pride in the human heart. But when faith comes into the mind, all these things are broken off. And then conviction, repentance, confession comes into the soul. Conviction of sin, guilt. And then a desire to forsake my sin comes into the soul. And then there's a confession to Christ. As the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that when faith comes and comes and Christ comes to the heart, it says what? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what faith does. But when Christ sits on our hands, no, we are higher. We are above. Life is more, important than things of our soul. So it is through faith in Christ that makes sinners to submit to Him. Until we can see this, we can never submit to Christ. So So I'll come to a conclusion finally. I mean, effect of humbling, because whatever a man does, there's an effect, the cause and effect. Okay, so first, unbelief keeps people condemned before God, even in life and to eternity. And then the money part, any other even though Abraham and that say we shall know. In John 2:18, we read, "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." When you despise God by unbelief, He can't deal with you in mercy. He deals with you in justice. And can you face God's justice? I mean, the devils, the demons are free. Remember when the Lord Jesus went to the place of the gatherings, when the man possessed the demons, or the demon asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "Have you come to condemn us before our time?" Demons are afraid. They are afraid of the day of condemnation, but mere mortals, we joke with it. Demons were afraid. "Are you come to condemn us before our time?" But people are rushing to condemnation. But how can we be justified before God as sinners if we despise His righteousness? So second thing also is that it makes the hearing of the gospel useless. When we keep on in unbelief, our hearing of God's word, even the gospel of our salvation, becomes useless. If a person is sick and that person will not take his medications, what good is the doctor's prescription for him? If I'm sick, I go to the hospital and I don't want to take my medication. If the doctor should bring the prescription down to anything, if I don't want to take, what use will it be? So our prescription is in the gospel. So we are in the hospital and that's it. There's no benefit for the one who will not take the medicine. So the prescription for remedy for sin is in the gospel. This guy himself said that they that are whole need no physician. But they that are sick. He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repent." So it is like that. And the third thing is that it is a sin that is chargeable to all who have ever heard the gospel of Christ and never believed. You know, those our ancestors before Christ who never heard the gospel, God will judge them according to their sin, but not according to the unbelief of the gospel. The gospel was not preached to them, but because they also sin in Romans chapter 1. Say what? When they knew God, they also created God in their imagination and went to God upon them. But you and I who have heard this gospel message, we have double if you do reject it. God will punish us. This unbelief is terrible to us who have this privilege to hear the gospel. God will judge us. Will look upon us and judge us according to this unbelief. If we continue in unbelief, we can never be set free. In Mark 16:16, we are told that he that believeth not shall be damned. Near on the end, you know. So, coming to conclusion, we see that there's no excuse for anyone who will not believe. If anyone will not believe, there's no excuse. We should look within the heart. So, be an excuse to India. Now, we're in Yan and Pajan was a son, or a woman. Not sure, and you're my eye, can you want to talk? I have fun at this If I name from war. And somebody will say, How do we believe? Or are we hearing it to see, Mama? How do we believe? You see, then that. In Romans 10:17, it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Yes, as you are listening, it's one way. But if you come to believe, no matter, I will tell people, if let's you have an exam at school, how's your feelings like? Told your students. Or let's say if you have some important appointment, how's your feelings like? I remember those days when we like football, when there's a national football match. Even when the ball is going to score and then you are moved. That's how faith is. It goes beyond that. But the affection, a passion for what you want to have. How people have a passion for football, they even kill themselves when their teams loses. And yet the gospel is there, and they say, "I can't believe." No, that we have to have passion for what we have heard. That is life. So we believe by giving us our affection to the things God has told us, to love it, to long for it, to chase after it. As Simon said in Psalm 62 or 42, he said that, "As a deer pants after the water, so pants my heart after God." Said the Abua no Akuma, Abua Yatano Noa, and to come there and open to you, and Simon Akuma, and so we say, "Rabbi Akuma." That was that situation. So that is how it is. May you bring affection to the things of Christ. When you bring affection to the things of Christ, it was sent to him, to the cross. Until you come to him with your mind, with your heart, seeking to have forgiveness for sin, you can never have. We should desire. We should desire. Ask beyond everything we desire in this life, and God will hear us. So if you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the way to do. We come. Always compare. How do I love the things I want to achieve in life? How am I really? I don't even, students, when they're going to write exams, they don't even know, they will not even sleep. Because you want to have a perfect mark that will help him to continue his education or career. Years back, it was like that. In the time of the Puritans, people can really be affected that they are not saved. That a whole year, they are disturbed in life. And they will go on and go on. And none that I've heard that ever did that was never, that he never got saved. Obi Biara, you know, let's say spirit and form realm. Obi to me, or dream was that I mean, young one. Or to me, another, just like a boy, I feel about who dream. Now, Obi no, my kind in history, or yes, I win young one. God is faithful to his word because there's something which is holding us back. God will never give it to us. So may the Lord help each one of us and let us see that we shall clear this unbelief so that we shall also have full assurance of faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray together?